Film Vault. I'm Brian Bishop. That's Anderson. We're your hosts. Thank you for joining us this week. Our topic, top five movies that need a sequel. Sequels, Anderson, generally bad. These are ones, movies that we would like to see have a sequel in hopes that they'll be good.
I know. I'm torn on this because what I would normally do is pick five movies that I love so much. I would like to see a whole nother, I would like to see 2 more hours
yes,
of them continue.
Can't get enough.
However, let's just say like A Clockwork Orange, my favorite movie ever. The thought of a sequel makes me almost vomit.
It's a fine...
Especially because little Alex is so goddamn old now. Malcolm McDowell's got gray balls. And it would ruin the entire franchise. Not that it's a franchise. It's only one movie. But if they were to touch A Clockwork Orange, I would be forever angry.
I totally agree. It's a fine line.
No, but you love sequels.
I do. It's a fine line. No, I don't. It's a fine line I found when researching my list. Movies that are so good... You can't possibly make a... Please don't do that.
Does that upset you? Sorry.
Why do you insist on upsetting the listeners every single week? There's some ding.
Ooh, I brought
or
dinner
just,
tonight, too. And gum. I took the gum out of my mouth, though.
You're in
that.
Rare form.
I know.
It's a fine line. Movies that are so good, they just can't possibly have a sequel because the story was told so perfectly. Or movies that are so good you kind of want more. You know what I mean? It's like, I want more of this. Let's hope a sequel would be good.
Some of the movies on my list, for sure, they beg for more to be told.
Yes.
They have such great characters that are kind of left a little bit in limbo or they're set up. And I mean, every single one that I mentioned tonight or today or whatever this is, I will explain why I want more of it and why it will not necessarily ruin the first one.
Yeah.
And however, there's always that risk.
Will you be proposing potential storylines? Like, oh, I'd like to find out what happens.
I don't even want to do that because I love these movies so much. I don't want to embarrass myself with coming up with like in a lame, weak storyline. So I'm just saying I want more from the characters. You can go ahead and embarrass yourself and say, I would like to see Optimus Prime turn into a train and become like a human centipede
that
robot.
That would be amazing.
I was thinking about that. Human centipede transformer style would have to be a train.
Yeah. Literally.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. A convoy.
Yeah.
Name it Convoy. Convoy Prime.
Speaking of human centipede.
Oh, no. Let's get into that in a second.
Next segment. No, we're doing Flick Fashions.
We're doing it right now?
Oh, we do Flick Fashions,
right,
and
we'll
talk about the last three movies we've seen. That's what we do here on the Film Vault.
Yeah, we
really
do
the
little,
Film Vault,
little banter. A little banter.
Yeah, I'm done bantering. Let's talk movies.
I have more to say about top five movies in this sequel, but I don't
Well, we're going
to
do an entire show.
Safe.
I should act like this is live radio. Miss Movies, she coming by tonight?
Nope, because we're doing it kind of late again.
Turn your mic off.
Hey, Logan's on this episode.
What do you mean? He's on every...
Did you not tell Anderson about that?
No, I told you on G-Chat.
What? What?
I forgot I didn't tell him.
You were making a joke, but what?
Logan was not on the last episode. His mic wasn't recording.
Oh, I don't know if it's recording. Is it recording?
Yeah, Tyler checked it for me.
That happens to
Anderson.
That happens to Tyler on the After Disaster. But this is very uncomfortable for me, guys. I must say, as we have part of the After Disaster in the other room right now, kind of watching this, and I do feel like
when
I'm cheating.
Part, it's just Tyler. Right?
Tyler is in the other room, and I feel like I'm cheating on my girlfriend right in front of her. It's kind of awkward.
You're allowed to be on more than one podcast.
So if this is rough sex for you, Brian, it's because I'm trying to show Tyler that I love him more.
Maybe I'm into that.
Shut up.
Maybe
bitch.
Tyler's into watching.
Shut the fuck up, bitch.
Maybe this is satisfying all parties.
Let's do flick.
No,
pictures.
No.
I should also, I don't like to give shout outs, but my buddy Farron is here.
I've seen that guy in years.
Farron, big fan of the Film Vault, big fan of booze.
Really? Farron likes Film Vault?
Yeah.
How about that? Farron's, is he still bartending?
Yes, he's bartending, and he works at a place that I'm not allowed to go to, so unfortunately I don't get to partake in the free booze that would be mine if I was not 86 from...
That ban has been in effect for years.
It's a lifetime ban.
Oh, really?
I've had it lifted twice. You know what? The guy that owns
like
the
Steve
bar...
Howe.
The guy that owns the bar and banned me for calling him a... Well, what happened was I told
thought
him
there
I don't,
were cops involved.
There was cops involved. But I told him I don't like him. He's like, why do you come to my bar if you don't respect me? I said, I don't respect you, but like, I like the girls that work here. And it's kind of like you're their dad. And I used to hang out at girls' houses all the time. Then I like their dad.
Sure.
And you're kind of like the dad in the situation.
And the booze is like the girl and the sweet poon.
So I was banned.
I didn't even get
he
that
is
out.
Now he is now the mayor of this town that we are sitting in. He's
really?
The actual mayor.
Of Culver City?
It's nice to know that the mayor of Culver City hates me. I like that.
That is good to know.
He hates me for good reason, though.
Why? What is it with you where you must take everyone who wants to like you and wants to do nice things for you, and you must turn them against you? Like
the
dings and they'll say all the same.
People like the ding. More
that
people like
true.
The ding than
that
dislike the
false.
Ding.
I've gotten
Play
many
the ding.
People saying things.
Play the ding.
Don't fucking
played the tape. Yeah. People like the tape.
Thank you for proving my point.
More people are happy right now than sad.
I don't know about that.
I like to go, especially when I'm boozing, which is I've been known to do. I like to like find the meanest, angriest looking guy in the room, make him hate me, and then turn him back around so that he likes me. It's a mind game that I play. I don't know why. I know that it has to do with me hating myself, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Let's talk about movies for fuck's sake.
Movies. Flick fashions. We start off every episode the same way we flick fests. Confess the flicks we've seen in the last week. Anderson?
Yeah.
I think there's something you want to get off your chest. Mm-hmm. I saw a little tweet about a human centipede.
Oh, you saw that tweet?
You tweeted, right, about
yeah.
it? Or something?
Yes, I saw Human Centipede 2.
Oh.
I was subjected
full sequence
to Human Centipede 2. Let me ask you and Logan this. Do we want to have Ashlyn, who was the body segment of the Human Centipede from the first one? She's also the only character that's in both Human Centipede 1 and Human Centipede 2, the full sequence. She's been offered up for a guest on the Film Vault. Can we talk to her for a full hour and a half? Or
I feel like there's
Brian to stare at her like a deer in the headlights for an hour.
I just want to know the truth about when she told her parents that she
I
got
know,
casted.
You know what? When she was offered, the first thing I asked her...
can we reenact that?
Her publicist was... I said, this is
we've done it enough.
This is going to be like a really strange question.
No, with her.
But are Ashlyn's parents still alive? Because... And she's like, what? Why did you ask that question? I said, because I really want to ask about the reaction. And I don't want to ask if the parents are dead and find out afterwards. Like, hey, how'd your dad feel about this? He's been dead for 7 years.
He's been dead for 10 days. Yeah. That'd be even worse.
So I saw Human Centipede
2. Where? How?
It was a press screening.
Mm.
The movie...
You're, of course, part of the press.
...is horrific.
How did you get invited to a press screening?
I get invites here
I understand.
And there.
I understand.
I rarely say yes.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to phrase it like, how did you? I mean, like, how did you? Like, what was...
I got an email was forwarded to me for a screening of the Human Centipede 2, and I said... Absolutely, yes.
Yes. Stupid not to.
I think I said no to Moneyball a few months ago, which, you know, I should have said yes to. But I had to. I felt like for the listeners, I had to see Human Centipede 2. This is a movie
Where does
that
it rank among Human Centipede films?
As in goodness? I mean, I can watch the first one again. I will never, ever watch this one again. I say that now. I know that I probably
will. You know you will.
With other people. I'm never going to watch it by myself again. It would... definitely rank up there with the top five most disturbing fucked up movies I've ever seen. First half.
Your top five is star studded,
yeah,
by the way.
It is
disturbing.
This had a scene that definitely rivaled the head fire extinguisher in the. I feel like I talked too much about Irreversible because the after disaster. We had tons of callers calling them. All of them have seen it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is a late night crowd. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The can't sleep crowd.
But there is a scene that involves Martin, who is a mentally challenged... Let me explain what it is. Martin is a mentally challenged security guard.
Oh, he's a retard.
Brian, please. See, I almost said Tyler right there. That was awkward for me. He is taking the place of the doctor, Heater, from the first one. The nice thing about the first doctor was he was a very skilled, world-renowned surgeon.
Yes.
He knew what he was doing.
He formally separated and joined twins.
He worked with precision and scalpels. Martin... who the storyline in Human Centipede 2 is just, he's a fan of the movie. Human Centipede opens up with him watching the movie at his
very
job
meta.
on his computer. Very meta. And it's his desire.
Muppet movie.
I will stab you. It is his desire to do what was done in the first movie, but more so like times four. He wants to do 12 people.
I'm with you.
Yet he doesn't have any kind of skill. He doesn't have any kind of good equipment.
No medical training.
He has no training in anything. He's a security guard of the parking lot. And he uses things that he finds in his mom's kitchen. So he's using a hammer to remove the teeth.
Okay, that makes sense.
And that was right up there with the most horrific things I've ever seen in cinema.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Hammer to the mouth over and over again. The sounds of him pulling the pieces of the mouth. It's just stuff that you don't ever need to see. The first half, though, the first 45 minutes
Are these
was...
people unconscious? Because
no,
how
oh,
else...
no. Wide awake.
How else? How would you...
Wide
you,
awake.
How would you hold someone still enough? That's a pretty precise...
There were some holes in the movie's
okay.
plot, such as, like, he tied them... I am going to be giving some spoilers here, because no one's going to see... people should not be seeing this.
People will see it. It'll be a phenomenon.
He ties people up. Just behind their behind,
spoiler alert.
He ties their hands up and their legs up, and then he lays them on the ground, and he'll leave them in the warehouse for like it's hard to tell, but like at least a day, 2 days. So he's collecting them, and he keeps leaving more people there until he gets 12 people. They could have easily if your hands were tied. I don't know about you, Brian, but if my hands were tied behind my back
right.
and my legs are tied together, I can stand up.
Yes,
I could get over to other people, and that's a problem.
You could form a plot,
but I shouldn't be ripping holes in the plot of Human Centipede 2 because it's.
No, the holes are for sewing up.
It's 100% medically inaccurate as opposed to the first one, 100% medically accurate. There is a newborn baby that is born and crushed by a woman's foot. Aww. You see it and you hear it. It's things you never need to see. It's also black and white. It's also very stark. It's
black and white.
Black and white. Like I've been trying to say, the first 45 minutes, there's some really beautiful shots and beautiful in the most horrific way of him with his shirt off. And he's a pudgy little man.
Sure.
And he's got a mom who's constantly yelling at him.
Oh.
And some really beautiful shots of him standing with nothing but his underwear, yelling at his mom, or his mom's yelling at him. He doesn't have a single solitary line, not a single word in the entire movie. He is phenomenal. He's great. He's everything is through his facial expressions.
Wow.
Now, the first 45 minutes is the right tone. It's the same as the first one. It's somewhat funny.
It's kind of like WALL-E.
Not like WALL-E at all. But then it goes to dark, dark places once he tries to realize his dream of sewing the 12 together.
Mm.
And I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to try and give everything away. But and there's a real centipede involved with this one.
That's fantastic.
Yes. With some very beautiful symmetry. Cinematography.
So does it not have the comical element that the first one had?
Some of it. And also, I saw it with a room filled with people that if I could wish people dead, these would be like atop the list. I hate the type of people that watch movies for a living. That's something else that occurred to me as I was sitting there and suffering through this is Brian and I, we don't see these. I mean, we could and we do occasionally, but we pay for our movies still.
Right.
And that's what the whole, I like to see a movie that I paid for. And was it worth it? Should I have paid for that? The vast majority of my movies I see through Fuckflix. But
because we sort of draw the line, but we sort of make the distinction that we're not critics and we're not seeing these critical screenings. We're speaking from we love movies.
I used to see them a lot more often, and I used to be a lot more like the types of people that I was watching the movie with that day when I saw Human Centipede 2. I should tell you this. There was a glitch. There were some bugs in the one that we were watching, which was being fed off of a computer, and it started skipping ahead and then skipping back, and then it freeze framed right on the hammer to the mouth scene, which was so it's like, you know,
it's intentional.
20 feet of this awful, awful image in front of us for a good 2-3 minutes. Everyone in the theater, and when I say everyone, there's 30 people in there screaming and yelling angry, I can't believe what is it, be professional for God's sakes. And then there's this woman, she's saying, I think that I'm more concerned with the people that would pay money to see this movie than the man who actually made it, Tom Six. I think there should be a watch list and people should be watching these people. And I'm thinking, what? A lot of forced laughter up to that point because people were really – these are people that would never see this movie.
Sure.
But they kind of had to because for their job. There's an asshole sitting next to me who got there late and he was fucking with his bag the whole time. He was the biggest prick to the girl that actually had to deal with the screening and get it back on track. And he's like, no, it's farther back. God, how hard is this? I'm thinking, dude, you watch movies for a living.
Yeah, relax.
Settle the fuck down. So many bitter people and angry people.
And by the way,
people,
why so abusive to the help? You know what I mean? Why so abusive to the people?
She had already explained to us that she had to sit through this thing 3 times. It's give her a break. You know, she's not sitting in there for a 4th time. I don't blame her. She's out in the lobby. But yeah. I hate those people a lot.
I understand.
And I used to do it a lot more often. And I think I used to be a little bit especially when I was in film school. I mean, it's kind of hard not to be.
Oh, this is. Yeah.
It's a very good piece. That's Human Centipede, too. It's a good piece.
It's becoming very self-revelatory.
Okay, quick, because we're going on way too long.
That's all right. Everyone wants to hear about this.
The best movie that I missed in 2007?
Yeah.
Little Children. Have you seen this?
No. Ryan Gosling?
Not Ryan Gosling.
Damn.
No. Little Children was a movie. It's made by Todd Field, who is an actor turned director.
Oh, is that the Julianne Moore film?
No, Julianne Moore is not in it. You are good with names, but they're not the right names, unfortunately. No, this one's
Tom Sizemore.
Kate Winslet, Jennifer Connelly, and I brought it up. Because
Channing Tatum.
Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah.
Who was...
I know. Yes, of course. He was nominated for an Oscar.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he plays a diddler, or someone who's exposed himself to children. This movie is... fucking phenomenal. I loved it. It's a drama in the best sense of – I don't like dramas. I thought that I'd maybe seen this. There's a lot of movies out there that are easy to – for me anyways. I'm not a big drama guy. But this felt like Revolutionary Road and American Beauty.
Right.
As serious as Revolutionary Road and as little going on with suburbia, white suburbia, but it's all about – The name Little Children actually is a double entendre. It's actually talking about the adults in the movie.
Oh,
I don't want to really talk much about this movie at all, other than if you like dramas at all, not a whole lot of laughter going on. But when there are laughs, they're big. When the diddler is in the children's pool with his goggle, with his snorkel gear on. Holy shit, it's hilarious.
Sometimes it's the best kind of laughs when the tension builds up so long you just want to release, and then they give you
I'm not sure
a genuine
you're
laugh.
Supposed to be laughing there, but it
no,
was
but
goddamn funny.
I think
funny.
The filmmakers know they give you a half a genuine laugh, but you laugh over, you overcompensate with the
laughter.
Because the tension's been building.
Not one. Well, that's why there was so much fake laughter and forced laughter at Human Centipede 2, because those people were just uncomfortable. I don't think that that critics who watch – I don't feel like the guy that's critiquing WALL-E should be the same guy that's going to critique Human Centipede 2. Mm. You know what I mean? Shouldn't we have different critics for different genres?
I agree with that.
But Little Children, not one single character that you really like, that you pull for, yet you're compelled to watch. I don't believe how much I like that movie.
Back to your point. That's a good point. They do that in Rolling Stone. They don't have like the hip-hop guys review like, you know, rock records and such and such. You know what I mean? For the album
specialized.
Yeah. Yes. They have the guy do the guy.
And then you heard about my my tragedy where Bad News Bears showed up and ruined my weekend last weekend. I got a new screener and watched it, and I drank some old Milwaukee.
Wait, what about the victim?
I watched it. What's that?
The movie I gave you last week. The Bean.
Oh, with the scrawl on it?
Bean!
I thought that was like a trailer for
you. You son of a bitch.
All right, well, that's so Bad News Bears holds up. Loved it. The girl watched it with me, and she's like, you know, if I hadn't seen so many movies that have ripped it off since, I probably would appreciate it more. But Tanner is my idol still.
You didn't watch The Victim.
God, I love Tanner. Tanner!
Oh, Bean's going to be crushed.
Tanner's the most racist, white, toe-headed little fucker ever, and he's awesome. God, he's got balls. Kid's got balls.
Speaking of Jackie Earl Haley, you're on a Jackie Earl Haley run.
Talking about the original Bad News Bears, by the way, you fucks.
Yeah.
Not the remake, please.
Jackie Earl Haley, and it was Kelly Leak.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's where it all began.
Well, I watched The Victim, Anderson.
This victim. What is this victim, and who is
it? Man, I thought that
who victimized
you, because remember you were like, I told Bean I was going to watch it, but I'd be honest.
Michael Bean, yes.
And I'm waiting for your honest review. This is terrifying. This is upsetting. I thought we were both going to review the same film.
I will watch it, Brad. I'm a very busy man watching Kelly Leak in numerous movies.
Should I postpone the victim to next week?
No, tell me about it. Let's talk about it.
It was amazing. Now it was very good. It's a definite grindhouse film. You know what I mean? That's his whole thing. He's like, it's a grindhouse movie. You know, low budget, shot in a couple 12 days or something like that. It is essentially a delivery system, a vehicle for drugs, sex, murder, torture, serial killing, kidnapping, crooked cops,
all the elements.
Yes, everything you expect and need out of a grindhouse movie. If that's what you like, the exploitation type films.
Well, if you like Bean, you're going to like it, because he's in it a lot.
He's a writer, director, the auteur.
Yes, the auteur. And you can tell he just had fun, too, with it. Because like the end with the credit, with the credits, he actually had every single person.
You watched it.
The makeup lady, they had video of her next to her name.
You watched it.
You could tell that he likes the process of it. A lot of Night for Day, which I'm not a big fan of.
Why are you
the girl with the big boobs?
Why is Netflix Fest? Jennifer.
The girl with the big boobs.
Jennifer Blanc.
Did she come in with him?
Yes,
she was there with him.
Yeah, right? That's his wife. I'm pretty sure.
Her name's Blanc.
Blanc Bean.
Blanc. Okay.
Okay. So, what'd you think?
I thought there was some good TNA in there.
Okay.
I beat off to it twice.
Okay. Grindhouseofthevictim.com is where you go if you want to watch more or learn more. It seems like I've seen an awful lot of, speaking to your point, it feels like I've seen an awful lot of skull crushing lately in movies.
Yeah, you know what? There's another
skull
scene in there.
Yes.
Which is like Drive, and it was also like definitely Human Centipede.
Irreversible.
Too, and Irreversible, yes.
Is skull crushing the new thing?
Human head not taking, not doing so hot in these movies lately. Yeah, it kind of is the new thing. Like every Scorsese movie you see, someone's head gets crushed off screen.
Sure.
With a shoe. With the foot. You don't have to see it, though.
Sure.
You don't have to see it.
Or between a vice.
And the vice and the eyeball pops out, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the context of grindhouse films, this was an effective grindhouse film. And if you're like, I expect to see certain things, this checks off everything on the list quite effectively.
I gotta hand it to Michael Bean, too, to just really go out there and make something that he wanted to make. He was obviously sitting around. He's probably getting offered shitty roles that he didn't like. He's like, fuck this. I'm going to make a movie. I'm going to have fun with it. You could tell he enjoyed the whole process. It takes place in Flagstaff, even though they obviously shot it in Topanga Canyon here. And if you like Michael Bean.
Didn't look very Arizona-ish.
You're going to like this movie. Yes. No, a lot of hills.
A lot of woods, a lot of greenery. I also saw Freakonomics, which was number 3 on last year's fall winter preview for me, the third most anticipated film of last fall. So I finally got around to seeing that. That's how I roll.
I'm glad that you take care and see those movies. So.
Yeah, finally saw it. Finally
that's
got
good.
My streaming up and running based on the book, the fantastic book by Stephen Levitt and Stephen Dubner. Segments directed by documentarians Morgan Spurlock, Alex Gibney, who you know from Taxi to the Dark Side and Enron, smartest guys in the room. Rachel Grady, who directed Jesus Camp, and Eugene Jarecki, who directed Why We Fight. As with all movies that are based on books, the book was better. I really enjoyed the book. It'll really make you think. And the movie was a pretty good version of
it. I like the movie at certain segments. Like, I love the abortion segment. Love it.
And then other segments, the sumo segment.
The sumo segment went on a little long and it did. A little bit dry. But
it was most effective, I thought.
It's a good – is it streaming still?
Yes.
It's on Instant. Great.
It'll make you think, and it's like skillfully done, but overall, read the book. It'll give you more depth of knowledge in all of the subjects. And I also saw a movie, Uflick Fest, a while ago. I remember you talking about it, and I put it on my queue. That's what I do when you talk about movies.
That's not true at all. That's a lie. It's a bold face.
Put it on my queue, and I saw Confederate States of America.
Yeah.
CSA.
Some funny shit there, right?
From 2004, written and directed by Kevin Willmott. Mm-hmm. It is a mockumentary based on an alternate history.
I told you it was tough.
What do you mean?
As in, like, not a great movie.
It's not great, but it's good. It reminded me of how I feel about, not exactly, but how I feel about Idiocracy, which is a great idea.
Idiocracy is a great movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
This is
a movie, a mockumentary made as though the South had won the Civil War.
Yes, based on the alternate history of the
which
South.
Which I love that idea. I wish that they went a little further with it and kind of made more jokes about like where we are now. It was so tongue-in-cheek.
I agree. And the whole subplot about the guy who is so many generations down running for president.
Yes.
It was a little heavy-handed and little bit ham-handed.
I did love those fake commercials, though.
I loved the end
where they explained those commercials and said, and turned out they were all real things.
Much like Grindhouse, the movie Grindhouse, these interstitials, the commercials were the best part.
Enterhead, which is apparently what's his name?
Rick Perry.
Yeah. His dad.
His family's ranch.
1982, they bought a ranch and named it Enterhead. Netflix ahead, and they named it.
Yeah, and then they renamed it.
What the fuck would they name it that for? In 1982. When I heard that, I'm like, 1882? Yeah, it's a different time. No, 1982. Dodgers were like winning the World Series that year. I don't know.
But I feel like if Confederate States of America, if those interstitial commercials are available on YouTube,
CSA.
You should track those down and look at them because they're funny and they're interesting.
Like, here's where I have to be able to say the word, but I can't.
I kept looking forward to the segment's ending, so I would get back to the
commercial.
Commercials.
Yeah. Like the Netflix there.
Bad sign.
Netflix there.
Yeah. That was a cigarette. The Coon Chicken Inn. The Gold Dust Washing Powder. The Darkie Toothpaste.
These are all real things.
Yeah. Nigger Hair Cigarette.
Hey, whoa, you said it!
I'm just saying it was in the movie!
He said it!
It was in the movie!
We're off.
Directed by a black guy.
Enjoy doing the show with you.
iTunes just pulled us off.
Logan took over.
They pulled it. We can't even get on.
If only there was a way to fix that.
You're going to have to bleep this, but you're going to start calling it Netflix now?
Wow. Wow.
You
see,
Mark it.
What I said was
yeah.
Wow. All right.
Who would name a cigarette and who would want to smoke? I'm an ex-smoker.
Who's walking into
who's
the 7-Eleven?
Like, yeah, I would like to smoke a cigarette that tastes like Afro hair.
What you got there behind the Pall Malls? Oh, interesting. Yeah, give me a pack of those. Yeah, give me a carton.
I can't believe you said the N-word.
I did.
Then I can't believe you made me say it.
I know.
I told you I didn't want to.
That was terrible of me.
Logs, how far along are we?
We're at 22 minutes.
Holy
Jesus Christ,
shit.
Let's take a break.
Coming up next.
Wishful sequels.
Top 5 movies that need a sequel. Personally,
too wordy.
I found myself very invigorated by this list.
Two quick points because I'm OCD and I always forget. Todd Field, the guy that directed In the Bedroom with Nick Stahl, and Tom Wilkerson. Not a huge fan of that movie, but good. You know he's got good style.
What, you saw it?
Oh, you know what? Also, Little Children had one of the biggest problems that people talked about with Little Children. Back to Little Children because I love that movie. The narration. Well, heavy-handed narration. And at first you're like, holy shit, where did this come from? Where there's a narrator reading passages from the book that it was based off of.
That could be a top five. Top five movies where narration is good.
That's a great top five.
Write it down.
Tom Perotha. I'm sure I'm not saying that name right, but he wrote the book, and then he also co-wrote, he scripted it as well. And the guy that they got to read the narration was before he was doing the narration for The Most Interesting Man in the World, the Dos Equis.
Oh, yeah.
I love his voice. They do an NFL takeoff. There's a lot of fun tongue-in-cheek satire in Little Children. I really, really like that movie. I can't believe it wasn't up for Best Picture. It's the year that Departed won Best Picture. And
well, that was Scorsese's best film.
I got to tell you, Little Children I enjoyed as much, if not more, than Departed.
Mm-hmm.
I said it! But I didn't say the N-word there. I'm proud of myself.
Good for you, buddy. You show some real restraint.
I'm making strides.
Coming up next.
Baby steps.
Top 5 movies and need a sequel. Anderson.
I know, much like myself, Brian, you listen to a lot of podcasts. How do you listen to your podcasts?
In my car, almost exclusively.
Exclusively, myself as well.
Yeah.
In my car.
It helps my commute.
We wanted to talk to you a little bit about Neo Car Audio.
It's our first sponsor.
First sponsor since the comeback.
Check out neocaraudio.com.
Plus, it makes sense. I mean, they're selling products that actually help you listen to podcasts like this one in your car. I have been for years using a little, because I listen to tons of podcasts like you do, Brian. I use a little tape player with a little tape that goes in there with the wire that comes out.
That's terrible.
Terrible system.
You need to go to neocaraudio.com.
Neocaraudio.com. They actually have stuff that tricks your stereo into believing that it's an iPod.
That's
other things
need.
Like that. Yeah.
Listeners get a 15% discount and free shipping with the code TFV. Order something, order nothing. Just check it out and, hey, tell them we sent you there. We'll appreciate it. Neo Car Audio, they're our listeners, they're fans, they're our first sponsor. Neo Car Audio.
Thank you, Neo Car Audio.
Thank you to our two, Anderson, two for not Tuesday, two feature artists this week. They are Majestic Soul and second band coming up a little bit later, the incredible Say Watts from Lugnut Brand Records, lugnutbrandrecords.com. Thank you, Majestic Soul. I like this kind of, this is good. It's a good change
soulful.
Of pace. It's a good change
very
of pace.
Majestic.
It's a good change of pace. I love it. Majestic Soul, you're listening to right now, right, Logan?
That's correct.
Okay, coming up next, Incredible Say Whats. Thanks, guys. And a little shout-out once again for our first and definitely not last sponsor, Neo Car Audio. Thank you guys for all the support. We appreciate it. Neo Car Audio appreciates it. If you need anything for your car, your iPod hookups, your stereo, your speakers, anything you need, you can get a 15% discount and free shipping at neocaraudio.com. Just enter the code TFV, Neo Car Audio.
It's huge.
It's good times, man.
Yeah.
People jumping on board with the Film Vault. AndersonandBrian.com, all that good stuff. Check us out. Oh, quick plug. You can lower the music. Oh, you can keep it going, actually. No, yeah, that's good. Lower it a little bit. Just a little personal business. Allison and I of the Adam Carolla Show.
Who's
Anderson, we're off.
What's Adam?
We're off for a month.
Who's Adam?
Adam Carolla hosts a very popular podcast.
Oh,
Allison
I heard about
and
that.
I will not be working for about a month. We got to pick up some
Fired.
Odd jobs. No, just being on hiatus. Forced
with Logan
hiatus.
Now, huh?
Yeah, I know.
Furlough, they call that.
Unemployment. Furlough. I know. Unemployment line.
Slimming down over there.
So we got a.
Is it gonna be Corolla just standing in a parking lot a month?
Yeah,
from now?
That's pretty much what it's gonna be. In the meantime, Allison
yelling with a megaphone.
Odd jobs, Anderson. Odd jobs. So what we did is we put some odd jobs on eBay. Hire me and Allison to wash your car, walk your dog.
You gotta wear
make
a bikini
dinner.
When you do it.
One of us will. You must specify which one.
This sounds very wacky and very modern radio.
Well, we're going to make hilarious.
Wacky.
We're going to make hilarious videos out of it and put it on the internet. From internet bet. Sensation.
My bad. Okay, yeah. So.
But check it out eBay.
How
just
much?
Search for. You can, it's like $20.
I can get you to come over and wash my car for $20.
If you're the highest bidder.
What's that? $20.
Start the
ending
about $20.
All right.
It's not. We're not doing it for the money off the eBay. We want to do hilarious videos. We want to be internet sensations.
You need to tell me more about this off air because this is all very confusing.
Go to eBay. Just search for Allison Rosen. Search for Bald Brian. Whatever. You can find us. It's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. So check that out. All right, Anderson. Top five movies in the sequel.
Can they do anything weird like beat off on your head?
I specified no inappropriate touching.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Well, set for Allison. For me, touch away.
Mm. See? So, okay.
How's your gum?
I've been on the internet before, and I'm looking at, naughty pictures, and all of a sudden there's like this, a bald girl with a guy beating off on her head. I'm like,
a bald
that?
Girl?
Yes, shaved head.
I don't like that.
Bald Brie.
I sometimes find the short hair sexy on like the right kind of girl or right kind of frame.
Not bald.
But then there's too short. There's too short.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They look like they hate Netflixes.
Top five movies in the sequel.
Are you going first or what?
We can do it any way you want. It turns out.
Do you think we're going to have any crossover? I think we might have one.
Really?
One.
I came up with, you see this?
See, Brian loves the sequel. He's got a ton of movies.
See this list?
Wants,
this list of films that I considered that I was like, wow, that would make a great sequel.
I had a really tough time coming up with number five. Really tough time.
Funny you mentioned that. I did too. My top four were all had writer-directors who were the same guy, like the same writer, same director, like, auteurs.
I'm getting bored.
And for number five, it came down to a tie between two movies that I wanted to see sequels to equally, and the OCD part of me wanted to give it to the same writer-director, but no, I went with the movie I felt slightly more passionate about.
I want to hear your first.
You want to hear what it is?
This is more of a Brian topic.
I love this title. It was a listener who came up with it. So whoever that listener is, thank you very much. It was a fantastic idea. If you want to give us ideas for top fives, AndersonandBrian.com or Twitter us, The Film Vault, @The Film Vault.
It was Jeffrey Town who came up with it. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Yeah. Was it really? Oh, no. Thanks, Jeffrey.
No. No idea.
I wanted to give it to Diner. I want a sequel to Diner so bad. But you know, I've talked
about... Can you imagine Mickey Rourke in Diner?
That'd be amazing. Kevin Bacon, Steve Guttenberg, all those guys that don't work anymore. Bacon does, of course, but Guttenberg? But no. That was my number five holiday movie of all time. And I like to mix it up. I realize I talk about... You're ready for this, Anderson? I talk about the same movies a lot sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, same 12 movies. So I said, nope, not Diner.
12 Monkeys is one of them.
12. It's on my list.
Of course it is.
I love 12 Monkeys.
Of course
it should
is.
Be a sequel. I want to find out what happens on the plane.
No, but that's not number five. Go.
No, it's not. Number five.
13 Monkeys.
The 13th Monkey.
Okay.
Number five. Rounders. 1998. I want to find out what happened to Mike McDermott. I want to find out what happened to Worm.
What happened to Worm? He just disappears.
He disappeared.
He just goes away.
I want to find out what happened to Worm. What happened to Mike McDermott? Did he become a professional poker player? Did Teddy KGB follow him? Did Grandma follow him? Did he pay off the money? Did he go to Vegas like he promised? And did he enter the World Series of Poker? Did he do well? Did he win?
These are all questions I don't give a fuck about.
No, yes, you do.
Not at all. I didn't care at the time. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, Malkovich is great doing a bad Russian accent and splashing the fuck goddamn pot and whatnot. But let's go. Let's move. Gretchen Moll is boring my dick off. Did you read that article that we got sent to, we got tweeted to recently by a listener? And it was all about how Hollywood fucks the writer and fucks the people. And
just, no.
It was a great read. It was really, really good.
Really?
Yeah, I read it and I responded to it. And I said, thank you very much. Good read.
Wow.
But this movie actually came up, Rounders. I guess that the guy that wrote it went to the studio, whatever piece of shit studio ended up creating it, and said, hey, I got a great idea and this is how it goes.
Oh,
this
I did
this.
Read that. I did. I told
and,
you. Yes,
they're like,
yes.
Oh, no, we read light, thanks. And then they're like, let's go make that.
Let's go make that movie. Yeah.
Totally, and he yes. sued them, and he won a little bit of money.
Yes.
Another thing that they do is they'll distribute their own movies, these studios. So they'll have a budget to make a movie, and then they'll make a deal with themselves to distribute it. And their deal to distribute it can be whatever they want. It can be $50 billion to distribute their movie.
Right.
And then they can always turn around and say
we
took
lost
a loss.
Money.
We lost money, so we cannot pay you any money. I'm sorry.
It's
we
tough.
Have no money to pay you. Fucking bastards.
But there seems to be like one or two movies a year that make like all the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's Lucas.
Yeah.
Star Wars took points.
Rounders, 1998. All
right, Rounders.
I want to see a sequel.
Mine is a movie that is not going to be made into a sequel. It's been said as much. It's not going to. You never know. You know, 30 years from now when everyone's dead.
Oh, we should talk about our criteria because some newer movies are always on the table for a sequel. You know what I
right.
mean? Like
good movies are always on the table. But
yes.
when auteurs, you said that word earlier, yeah. writers, directors, creators of their pieces, if you will.
Pieces.
They kind of have final say, especially if they create it. It's like the Coen brothers. The Coen brothers can say, no, we don't really see doing anything else with Big Lebowski.
Right.
We don't really care if the dude is continuing to abide here.
He may be,
but
for all we know.
1998 is when the Big Lebowski came out. 1998 is when I fell in love with it. It was probably around 2000 when I realized this is the greatest comedy ever made. the Coen brothers say, we don't quite understand it. We like that movie, but we like our other work much, much more. But the dude will not continue to abide anytime
soon. This is your
soon.
Number five.
I would love to see it. Maude. Julianne Moore is pregnant at the end with yep. the dude's kid.
What happens?
Donnie's gone, but everyone else is still there. Nihilus is still there.
They still have a bowling tournament to participate in.
I want to know what happens with everybody. I would love to still see the
I would
Big
like
Lebowski.
To know how they play if they placed in the tournament.
I would like to see Seymour Hoffman's character because of all the great roles Philip Seymour Hoffman has had, I think that was my favorite.
Does
I
Bunny Lebowski
him.
Give up her wayward ways?
She is a weird bitch.
Yes.
She was actually quoted as saying that there is a Big Lebowski 2 coming out. But the Coen brothers flatly deny it, saying, okay. No, we have no interest.
What's more likely, that Tara Reid is just so batty she thinks that's possibly true, or that they lied to her just to like get her to go away? Yeah, there's a sequel coming out. We'll call you.
Yeah, just go away and wire your nipples shade into your breast so that we can't even tell where it begins. Where's the aerial begin there and where's it end?
That's a strange conversation to have with someone.
I think they could be sued for that. But I'm sorry. I usually don't talk about people's physical attributes. But it's true. What the fuck does it end and begin? It's really hard to tell.
It's a great question.
It like fades in. But yeah, some of the greatest characters I've ever seen in any movie. I want to see Walter. Where is Walter? What is John Goodman's character? And we got to get him going in another role like that before he's dead because he's a big man.
He's a big man.
He's good on Community. Really good on Community.
It could happen anytime.
You watch Community?
I don't.
You're great on Red State.
And I will never watch Red State now. You fucked it up for yourself.
Thanks.
I will never watch it.
Fired.
You brought it up way too many times. You pushed it way too hard. I'm being raped with your Red State. No, not watch Red State until it's free on Fuck This.
Red Lights or Red State.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
That wasn't good.
It's good.
Okay. That was my number five. I would love to see the bigger Lebowski. But the Coen brothers aren't really known for sequels.
No. If there's a crossover on our list, this is it. This is the only chance for a crossover, I think. And I could see you getting...
If it's crossover, it's my number one. And I hope it's not, because that would just fuck up this
whole
episode.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
People just put stop now.
Of all the random... This would be the most unlikely episode for us to have crossover, because
there's so many different...
Yeah, there's dozens of movies that would qualify for this.
I would say thousands.
But it wouldn't surprise me at all if you had number four for me. There Will Be Blood.
Oh, no. Leave it alone.
What?
It's glorious. It's perfect. I don't really give... He's finished! He's finished.
He's finished with part one.
Perfect.
He's finished with part one of his life.
He's like, I'm finished. Chapter one.
That's right.
No.
Please flip your disc now.
Please
flip your laser disc.
Not that anyone cares about fantasy leagues. And God knows that the people that have been listening long enough. You almost ruined an entire episode by talking about your balls. But you know the name of my team in hockey?
What's that?
Bastards from a Basket.
Mother Puckers?
Bastards from a Basket.
That's good.
Yeah.
Bastard in a Basket.
Bastards from a Basket.
It's good.
All right.
I like that.
So, yeah, there will be blood. Explain to me why.
Writer-director Paul Thomas Anderson. The rest of my list, Anderson.
PTA.
Writer-directors. Okay. Auteurs.
Yes. They do tend to make the greatest movies out there.
Yes. Absolutely a great film, but it left me with many, not unanswered questions, but many like, oh, well, what happens next? Like, does the ultimate thing is what happens to Daniel Plainview? Does he get off? Does his money buy him freedom? Does
he get off?
What do you mean?
Does he get off?
Does he get off? Does he escape prosecution?
Probably. Well, it all depends on that little servant that sees him at the end.
See? Exactly. And the judicial system was even more corrupt back then. So his money probably got him freedom, and he probably went on to live his life. Or maybe he went to jail. I would love to see that. Daniel Plainview in prison? That'd be amazing.
I don't know.
Think about it.
I can't imagine.
Think about it.
Yeah, well,
Daniel Plainview
like
on trial. I want to see that. I want to see it.
You know who he meets there? Bill the Butcher. A lot of CGI involved. Bill the Butcher and Daniel Plainview.
They're in the same prison.
Fuck, that'd be a great movie.
What are you in for? Did he reconcile the son?
He's like, I got caught time traveling.
I got caught.
That's what would have
busted.
That's what would have to happen. No, you don't touch this movie. There will be blood.
Did he reconcile with H.W. Plainview?
I don't care.
Did he cover up the murder? It's possible. He was paying his, he probably offered a princely sum to his servant to help cover it up.
You can't watch Daniel Plainview hate anymore. He's done hating. He's hated to death.
What if he turned Paul Dano's femurs into bowling pins?
Ooh. What if he turned them into like gears or like some way to like get more oil?
That'd be amazing.
Turns them into a giant straw.
That'd be amazing.
Sucks his milkshake. All right, enough.
I want to see a sequel to The Early Blood.
I love the fact that you like the movie enough to want a sequel, but it's bad instinct. No, we should not have a sequel. Thank you.
Nice stuff. That's how I know you're wrong.
Here's a movie that there will be a sequel to.
There will be a
sequel. There are talks.
Well, then why is it on your list?
There's already stories about it.
Okay.
There's ideas for it.
All right.
They're just waiting for John Turturro to get old enough. I believe I talked about it months ago on this show. Barton Fink. They're looking to call it Old
Fink.
They're going to call it Old Fink.
So the Coen brothers have never done a sequel.
As far as I can tell, they have not. Now, Barton Fink, they wrote real quick because they're having a hard time with a little movie they were writing called Miller's Crossing, and they kind of got stuck there. And they said, you know what, let's take a break. Only the Coen brothers would take a break from writing a script and go write another script and then come back to it. And Barton Fink turned out to be one of their all-time great. John Goodman's also in this one, again. If you have not seen Barton Fink, I think it is streaming. It is really good. It is fairly heady. You have to like the quirk that is the Coen brothers. John Turturro's phenomenal in it. They took all sorts of inspiration from Kubrick's Shining.
Sure.
And they whipped it up real quick just to get through so that they go back to Miller's Crossing, which I think is not nearly as good as Barton Fink. Now, their idea for Old Fink, and they're waiting for John Turturro to get old enough from what I've read, and they say he's almost old enough now, and it's going to be like post-McCarthy era. And he's a hippie, aged hippie, not really hippie, but he's teaching at Berkeley. Barton Fink he's a writer. He's a Hollywood writer. In the original Barton Fink, he's a Broadway playwright, and he has success. So they move him out to Hollywood, and he sees how – this is back in the 20s. Hollywood's not really treating him all that well.
Right.
And a bunch of crazy things ensue, one of which is he lives next to a serial killer in John Goodman. Spoiler alert. Really, really well-crafted, great movie. And the sequel that they're talking about doing – I mean, nothing's written yet, but the idea is that he lived through McCarthyism. He's somewhat successful in Hollywood, and he named lots of names as Kinkos, as communists.
That's great.
And now he's teaching at Berkeley. And I would love to see that movie.
Old Fink.
Barton Fink. Old Fink.
I'm in.
And then the Simpsons would have to do Old Fink. Old Fink. Fink.
We're going to see an R-rated movie.
We want to explain that because it's kind of inside.
I feel like I've talked about it before.
Yeah.
All I really know about Barton Fink is the Simpsons joke. because I haven't seen it yet. But there's a great moment where Milhouse is trying to get
he has a fake ID.
Yeah, he's like, we're going to see an R-rated movie, Bart. It's called Barton Fink. And the kid, and Bart's like, I can't go. I'm like, oh, you're going to miss out. And they drive away chanting, Barton Fink, Barton
Fink. And it's not a movie that 10-year-old boys would enjoy at all.
It is an R-rated movie, but not the kind that 10-year-old boys would enjoy.
All right.
Number three. Let's just do our number threes.
Oh, let's just do it.
Because our number ones and twos, first, we're going to have a lot to say. Second, I got a lot to say about our also-rans, because there's many movies I'd like to mention.
I have not.
As potentially, oh, I have many. And I want to hear the listeners' top five, because I don't think there's a consensus, but I'd like to hear some interesting nominees. Number three.
There were actually some enough that got repeated to make the listener top five.
I bet I know one.
I'd love to hear that. What do you mean?
My number one is the only one that I could think of that I actually saw a bunch of times that I had written down first day when I realized that we were going to be doing this. When I heard that we were going to be doing this, I wrote one down immediately. It just first came to head into my head. And then in doing my research, it came to a lot of people's heads. A lot of people have mentioned this one, and I'm all for it.
Wow. All right. I didn't do it.
That's my number one, Brian. I'm teasing to it.
Number three for me. It's time for writer-director M. Night Shyamalan to have a comeback. Mm-hmm. No, he's not going to make a sequel to The Sixth Sense. I'm talking about Unbreakable. Unbreakable set up so perfectly. Is that number one?
No, it's not number one.
I wish you didn't make the first one.
No, I'm kidding.
Unbreakable's good. Almost, you know what? Almost awesome movie.
What happens in the sequel? Movie. Does he become breakable?
I'd like to. No, the whole sequel's about his him and Samuel L. Jackson having their face off. Samuel L. Jackson is committed to a mental institution for the criminally insane. Mm-hmm. But
very brittle man. He's very brittle.
Mr. Glass.
Yeah.
But the whole movie, I remember reading when it came out on Ain't It Cool News that it was supposed to be the first thing was set up for the first part of a trilogy, which sounded awesome to me because it was like a superhero origin story.
That did well, though. Why would that fall apart?
It didn't do well really well. I think they expected Sixth Sense well, which was like one of the top 10 movies of all time at the time.
Crushed by his own success.
Yeah, no kidding, which has been the story of his career.
One of those pricks that are like trying to raise – we love him, but we just think he needs to go back to film school. So we're raising money for him to go back to film school. Isn't
it's kind of
hilarious?
Funny. It's kind of
dicks. It's kind of dickish movies.
But it's also kind of accurate.
Dickish. Yeah. But they're actually raising money. Money that could go to cancer research,
I appreciate
Brian.
That. Yeah. That's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
I would love to see a sequel to this because
– what happens?
Spoiler alert. For this 11-year-old film, at the very end, it is revealed.
I don't agree with that.
I'll let you fast forward if you really want to.
There's no fast forwarding on your little iPod.
You can absolutely fast forward on your iPod.
It's very hard. You miss a lot of stuff.
Well, this is plenty of time.
Should we give
to
more?
Lead up to it?
Should we give him more time?
No, we don't have to vamp anymore.
Okay, go ahead.
It's revealed. Should we give him more time?
Yes.
Samuel L. Jackson is
breakable.
He's Mr. Glass.
Yes.
He's the hero's arch villain, mm-hmm. and he's been searching his whole life for. He knows he's a villain. He's a bad guy. He blows things up. He kills people. That's my dog.
It's a ridiculous movie. It's a ridiculous premise. He's killing
people.
It's an
awesome premise.
He's killing people in like one part of the world where he's searching. I believe that he's searching the entire world.
He has clippings from all over the world. He's committed these terrorist acts everywhere.
Seems like he's blowing up a plane, you know, here, blowing up a train there.
It's needlessly elaborate.
Needlessly elaborate.
It is. He's looking for his.
Well, you control your animal. Your goddamn dog's wandering about, choking, puking.
I need you to calm down, buddy.
Shaking about.
Yeah.
Does he have epilepsy, that dog?
A little bit. But I appreciate not making fun of him.
See this dog?
Yep.
That's how a dog's supposed to act.
Oh.
Stanley.
Docile. Yeah.
We both have our dogs.
Unbreakable.
God damn, we're gay.
I would love
Let's
to
talk
see
about
a sequel. I
want
to see a sequel to Unbreakable. I want to see Mr. Glass take on Bruce Willis's character.
Isn't Mr. Glass like shattered into a million pieces?
But he's a criminal mastermind, Anderson. Mm-hmm. He masterminds all the crimes.
Okay.
I want to see more of Mr. Glass. I want to see there. I want
to
see the battles.
What's going to happen to poor M. Night? Because he is such poison. I've never seen such poison. I mean, Mel Gibson can continue after what he's done and said. But because of his own work and his own failings – and because of his early success, M. Night, there's no way they're going to allow him to put his name on things. They've given him way too many chances. What does that poor guy do for the rest of his life?
Who do you see?
Oh, he goes to Bollywood!
Oh, my
God. Of course! Why did I think of that?
Come on, buddy.
He's going to go to Bollywood.
Who do you see as having a more likely comeback, M. Night or Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson, for sure.
Really?
Yeah. Right. A lot of Christians in this here country.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of Christians. My number three.
Unbreakable.
Speaking of Samuel L. Jackson.
Is that your number three?
He played Frozone in this one.
Cootie Tang?
I want to know what Elastigirl's up to. I want to know what Violet's up to. I want to know what Dash is up to. Oh, wait. Violet is Elastigirl. I want to know what Jack's up to. Most of all, I want to know what Mr. Incredible's up to. The Incredibles needs to have a sequel. Brad Bird has said he will give it a sequel when he has the time and when he's got all the good thoughts worked out in his mind. He says he has pieces, right. but they're not all working together. He says if he can come up with an idea that's better than the first one, that's a mighty
task. That's a tough one to do.
It's a tough task.
Incredibles is a fine film.
Incredibles may be the best second, top three Pixar movies ever made. That's what I'm going to say.
It's a fine film. I like the Incredibles
a lot. I loved the Incredibles. Not every sequel works. I think they finally, Pixar-related movies finally had its first failure in Cars 2. It's the first Pixar movie I've not seen. The worst, by far the worst rated movie I've seen by them. Cars, that was my least favorite Pixar movie.
Cars was not that great.
I didn't think it was that great. Yeah, I don't know why. It must have done well with the kids and the toys and all that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Ever since Disney's, you know,
the merchandising alone. You mean how many toy cars they sold? How many Happy Meals?
At one point, though, Brad Bird said, I'm never going to make another Incredibles, but he has been since. He is a little bit busy right now. Of course, he has the new Mission Impossible movie coming out, and he's also working on a movie.
Did Brad Bird direct that?
Yeah, directed it. And he's also working on a movie
Ghost
called
Protocol.
1906, which is all about the San Francisco fires.
The fires resulting from the earthquake.
Resulting, yes. So Brad Bird's a little bit busy, but I do believe we will see more from The Incredible Family. And I love that. Love
good
that movie.
I like it. It's a good movie.
I mean, wasn't that a great world?
Jason Lee was fantastic.
He's gone.
Yeah, but he was
fantastic. Spoiler alert. His cape got cut. But I would love.
First of all, no one's ever really gone in movies.
Especially cartoons. Because he was really, really good. But you know what? When you're talking about like superhero movies, it's always good to get another villain in there.
Yeah, agreed.
Like a boss man, like in video games, you always want like the next level to have a different boss. You don't want to keep fighting the same guy.
A new henchman.
Yeah, boss. I'm talking video games.
All right, buddy. Coming up next,
RPGs. You know what that is?
Role player games.
Yeah.
Rocket propelled grenades.
Yeah. No. Different.
Coming up next.
God, this music is so. It sounds like
poppin',
something that they'd be
poppin'?
Bowling to in Big Lebowski.
It does sound like that.
Yeah.
The rest of our top five movies that need a sequel.
Hey, it's the guy whose voice you don't like to hear on the show.
I hate his voice.
And that's Katie.
Stop talking. I'm just going to do the talking. You can check out our show, Save It For... I was joking, Logan. You can say something.
I don't want to say anything now.
Check out our show, Save It For Air.
It comes out every other Monday on iTunes or saveitforair.com.
Yeah,
fun. We've had many people from this very podcast as our guests, including Bald Brian and Miss Movies.
Yeah, and we also get other people on the show that are cool.
Being a fan of any other shows or projects we work on, you probably know them and like them.
So again, that's saveitforair.com, new show every other Monday.
We're back. Thank you again to our featured artists. This time, the Incredibles Say What's.
Incredibles. Yes, I'd like to see a sequel.
Featured on Lugnut Brand Records, lugnutbrandrecords.com. Thank you, guys. AndersonandBrian.com to find out all of our information.
Brian with
featured
a Y.
Artists.
Brian with a Y?
Yeah, that's me.
A couple, I don't want to call them corrections and retractions like they do over at PMS, my favorite radio program.
Yep, program.
That I'm not directly affiliated with. Is PMS, Petros and Money. Give them a free little plug because that's a great show.
Yep.
But they do corrections and retractions. I would like to do one, a minor one right here, right now, which last week's show, we did a summer recap, and neither one of us mentioned in any capacity My Idiot Brother, which was one of the biggest movies of the summer. Not a huge movie by any means, but it definitely had a presence. And for us to not even mention it was kind of foolish.
All right.
And embarrassing for me when I realized it afterwards.
It was a good one, too.
I'm going to see it, and it will be FlickFest eventually, and it would be foolish of us not to at least have mentioned it or clean up our act.
Should be called My Bitch Sisters, though.
My Bitch Sisters, a lot of Bitch Sisters. Well, you could call My Punch Drunk Love that as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you could also call The Fighter that. Yeah.
Mm.
Ooh, top five movies with Bitch Sisters.
Wow, Bitch Sisters.
And also, something else that occurred to me, and I don't know if this is the time or place, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Okay.
Tim Burton.
Here we go.
Connection. All right. Two of my favorite movies in the last few years have Tim Burton connections. And I actually applaud and I look forward. I'm not a big Tim Burton fan anymore.
Okay.
Stopped liking him after Edward Scissorhands, I think.
Mm.
He's too obsessed with stripes and swirly hats and whatnot.
Sure.
But when he did Planet of the Apes,
right.
I had no idea that a number of years later I was going to see one that I love so much. Okay. Which was Rise of the Apes.
It's tangential.
My favorite summer movie of the summer. Two summers ago. My favorite summer. What is favorite summer movie and what continues to be my favorite action movie of all time?
Transformers 2.
No. Dark Knight.
Okay.
Who was responsible for the Batman before that?
Oh, all
yeah,
right.
Tim Burton. So anytime Tim Burton does something, then they revamp it, they reboot it.
Oh,
it's good.
There's a great Charlie and Chocolate Factory movie coming out in that case.
I'm waiting for it. I cannot wait. It is going to be awesome.
Sounds fantastic.
You know that Marilyn Manson was actually up for the role at one point of Willy Wonka? He went with Johnny Depp. They overrated Johnny Depp.
Well, you would. As interesting as that stunt casting would have been, that would not have been a good film.
It would have been a very different film, and it's probably it still might happen with the reboot. One can only hope.
It's definitely on the table.
Darren Aronofsky, get on that.
Number two. Let me recap my list so far. Rounders, There Will Be Blood, and Unbreakable are movies I would like to see sequels to. But not as much as I want to see a sequel to my number two movie. A movie I've mentioned before. Yes, I try to stay away from repeating the same movies over and over again. But this one, I love this fucking movie, and I realize that I'm in the minority. This actually, I believe, has a below 50% rating on...
Can you like it? That's weird.
I love it. It was the number one remake of all time. Number one!
I have no idea where you're going.
My favorite remake of all time?
I should. I know that I have a very small plot to pull from.
That's right.
Pull.
So, yeah, Romy and Michelle, not a remake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else there is. 12 Monkeys, not a remake.
It's not a remake. Actually, it is.
Terminator 2, not a remake.
12 Monkeys, a remake.
Actually, it kind of is. You're right.
It is. Not kind of. It is.
Yeah. It's like a French short.
It's a French short, yes. Yeah. Black and white.
No, I'm talking about a movie from 2001, a remake of Abre los Ojos. Open Your Eyes. Vanilla Sky.
Oh, yeah.
Cameron Crowe, writer, director.
I think of that.
I love Vanilla Sky.
Ooh, I like
this movie.
This is going.
This movie is rich. It is rich with ideas. It is rich with nuances, textures, themes.
Wait, everyone has heard at least part of an episode knows that you love Vanilla Sky.
I mentioned it once.
Yeah.
How dare you.
Once! Brian, you've come in here wearing the Tom Cruise mask.
Yeah, I didn't mention it.
No, you didn't.
That was
really
weird,
that
right?
That was all visual.
I never bring it up. That was a visual sight gag on a podcast. I never got addressed. I really do believe I've mentioned this movie one time.
Okay, what would happen in the second?
The ending. Yeah, they'd fuck. And the ending is so fucking awesome because Tom Cruise, spoiler alert for this 10-year-old movie, Tom Cruise.
Brian, that doesn't matter. We're past that, okay?
I think spoiler alerts have a statute of limitations.
Now that movies are available everywhere, if it's a movie that's not going to like be released again, and if you missed your chance to see it when it came out in theaters 10 years ago because we don't have technology where you can see it now. No, there's plenty of people who have not seen Vanilla Sky, and you shouldn't. It's not that good.
Oh,
and
fuck that.
You shouldn't be spoiling it.
I haven't seen it.
It's a great film. And by the way, divisive. Like I said, I think it's 44% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, that means it's good.
It's fucking
great.
I like
how he twists it. He's like a lawyer.
It's great.
Oh, you know what? You know what's why it's great? Because it's divisive.
Yeah, because all 44%. The idiots hate it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you see the original?
I did. I liked the remake so much that I saw the original. Even though it was in subtitles, Anderson. Subtitles!
Do you know who played the Freddy Krueger in the remake of Freddy Krueger?
Well, wasn't it Jackie Earle?
Yeah!
Yeah.
It was on TV the other night. I haven't got a lot of Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah, you're getting your Jackie Earle fix.
I watched on Showtime the other night while I was doing other things, and it was horrible.
I have to talk about the ending and talk about why I want a sequel. So at the end of the film, it's revealed that Tom Cruise, the second half of the film has been an entire dream sequence where Tom Cruise
has been
in cryogenic frozen state. He's a rich sort of celebrity. He's the owner of he's the heir to a big fortune. So sort of a socialite celebrity and publishing fortune. And he got into a horrible accident and had some medical problems that could not be fixed. So we paid a company to put him into cryogenic freezing. Turns out that it's actually 150 years later than he thinks it is. And they go into his lucid dream, which he can control, and say, we can either fix everything that's going wrong in your dream, or you can choose to wake up from your dream. Now, it's 150 years in the future. All your friends are dead. All your money is gone. I mean, your money's not really going to last you that long. It's 150 years.
It's not realistic because it would have made so much money with investments and whatnot.
I'm guessing it wasn't invested well.
Okay.
Because this is several generations down the road. It's probably been,
this is like part Matrix. I barely even remember this movie. I saw it in the theaters and I did not like it. But from what you're explaining, it sounds like the Matrix meets Idiocracy meets other movies.
But this is the end of the film. These other movies.
Oh, you're spoiling right now.
And Tom Cruise.
This is
elects.
Why you don't like Idiocracy, because you're like, oh, I could be watching Vanilla Sky
right now with
the fake face.
The whole time I was furious.
It also reminds me of, are you watching any Boardwalk Empire this season?
Man with Half a Face?
Yeah.
No.
Much better. Much better than Tom Cruise's face.
How can you
Tom Cruise's mannequin face.
All right.
Don't like Tom Cruise's
anyway,
mannequin face.
Anyway,
really
Tom Cruise elects to wake up. He says, I'm going to live my life. I'm tired of living in a dream. I'm going to live my life.
Are you just explaining the entire end?
So
did you
I
not hear
see,
that young Logan is not
and
seen?
The movie ends with a mysterious voice saying to Tom Cruise or saying to someone, open your eyes. And his eye opens and the movie ends. I want to see what happens. I want to see what life is like 150 years in the future. I want to see if Tom Cruise, his money is all gone. I want to see how he adapts. I want to see how he talks to people, how he interacts with people. He was a celebrity in his old life and he probably has some sort of notoriety as an early adopter of this cryogenics thing.
Oh, you know what? You're making some pretty good points.
Thank you.
Thanks, that's actually buddy. Not bad.
I would like to see that.
Okay, cool. It's a whole different movie.
It is a completely different film. But I love Cameron Crowe so much, and I would like to see what he does with sort of a not futuristic film, but a film that's set like, oh, this is a guy, a modern day guy who now must live in the future.
Got it.
Wakes up 150 years in the future.
With a fake face.
His face can be fixed. That's part of the thing. Yeah, Noah Emmerich comes up to him and says, hey, we can fix everything that's wrong.
Roland Emmerich? The director?
Noah Emmerich.
Oh, okay.
Who plays the band manager and Almost Famous.
What do you think about a sequel to Inception? It's 30 seconds long, and you just see if it tumbles or not. You just see if it topples
that's
over.
That's the whole film. Yeah. And then it falls over, and it's like, ah, shit.
Actually, it would have to be like 2 hours. And either it falls, and it just sits there lifeless, or it just keeps going, and you realize, if it's still going after 2 fucking hours, right. It's probably not going to stop.
It's like the movie Empire.
Speaking of Cameron Crowe, Brian, are we ready to move on away from fake face?
I'd like to talk more about Vanilla Sky.
I could tell.
Logan, you want to see this film now?
Mildly.
Brian's seen very few films, but the films he's seen, he knows them well. He knows them backwards. He's like the little kid who just watches the same movies over.
I've seen over 1,000 films.
I think I'm over Vanilla Sky now since you're over Red State.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, well, see, you're getting back at him, and you're doing like the George W. Bush thing where you bomb the country next to
number
the
two
people that actually. Okay. speaking of Cameron Crowe, he made a movie back in, I believe it was 1982.
Fast Times?
Yeah.
That was Amy Heckerling, but he wrote it.
That's what I'm saying. He wrote it.
We said
of course, Amy. I'm sorry. Amy Heckerling directed it.
Sure.
He wrote it.
You want to say a sequel to that?
I'm trying to. I'm trying to make a segue here.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
Settle down.
Let's do it.
You want to see talk all over your fake man mannequin face man movie?
Number 2 is Clueless.
Number 2 is Clueless. I would love.
Wow.
Number 2 for me is the last movie that I came up with. Just today, I was still only at 4, and I was racking the old drug-addled brain. And I was thinking, of all these movies that I've seen over the years and what I would like to see updated, and I'm curious about the characters and where they are.
You gotta spend a weekend rating movies on Netflix, and then you can go through your list of 1,000 movies or whatever, probably twice that.
I mean, I do go through them, and the algorithms know me. Netflix knows me.
All right.
They know what I would like, whether I rate them or not. I don't like to rate them. You know why? Because I like to see what they guess. So a lot of time I have to go.
No, once you've seen them.
I have to go unrate the ones that I've – and see what they would guess for me to see how – and then I go back and re-rate, and it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Okay. Number 2.
My number 2 is Fast Times. I want to see what Spicoli's up to. Wow. I would love to see. What it would be is that it would have to take place in 2007, and it would be like the 25-year high school reunion.
You know,
do they have 25?
Yeah. The key to this is all the actors are still alive, I believe.
No, Mr. Hand's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the teenagers.
But I would love to see.
Yes, Mr. Hand is dead.
He
was 90 years old at the time.
Have you seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
I've seen that one.
Okay. Would you like to see
if it ends up?
Why are you asking him?
Because you have nothing to add.
Ends up being like the slackers I went to high school with, he's probably just working construction.
Well, I love how everyone only thinks of Spicoli when he's kind of a background character.
He really is.
But
I want to see Forrest Whitaker ever went to college.
I would I would love to see Jefferson. See what he's up to.
I want to see Phoebe Cates' boobs.
See how
I want to see Judge Reinhold.
I want to see Judge Reinhold. See if he's still beaten off. I want to see Jennifer Jason Leigh. We still see her here and there. But I want to see how she turned out because she lost her virginity to a little prick.
Little prick.
Ramon. Right? Yes, I would love to see all those characters updated. And a lot of them aren't acting, or they're not acting as much as they should
be. Phoebe Cates is pretty much retired. She came up on our top 5 comebacks list.
Yep. I think I could see like a reunion turn into a Hangover type predicament.
Sure.
It would completely ruin the brand, and it would probably be awful. But if the right people are involved, say Cameron Crowe gets involved, and Amy Heckerling comes back, it makes another good movie.
But you know what, though? The Fast Times has been such a model for so many poor imitations.
Why
at this
not,
point,
why
at
not
this
bring point, back the original?
Might as well.
Show them how it's done.
What harm can be done?
They're making American Reunion. They should make Fast Times.
Yes.
And
Faster Times.
A lot of people, you know, I've read a lot of things. Faster Times, yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of people saying Godfather, They'd like to see that continue. I think after the abortion,
there was already two sequels.
Yeah, I know. But a sequel just means another one. So you could have done a sequel.
Did you come across a lot of movies that you think, oh, this would make a great sequel? Like, oh, they made one of that. It was terrible. I did that a lot.
I did a couple times. Like, Starship Troopers was the one. I didn't even look it up.
It was on TV today. I was watching it.
Really?
How fucking great is that movie?
So good.
Tina Meyer, so hot.
They made like two or three sequels,
straight to video.
Yeah. And you don't even realize it a lot of the time. But
they made a cartoon too.
Lion King, I think, is a sequel, for God's sake.
Yeah, a lot of those all of those Disney movies of the 90s had direct to video.
They gotta milk it.
I saw a really interesting documentary, which I'm pretty sure I flick fest, about how Disney totally diluted their brand in the 90s by doing all these direct to video, cheapy like sequels.
Oh, I know this documentary. Carano talks about it all the time.
Yeah, but it's about animating and Pixar. And
I
watched
that, yeah.
Number one.
I guess that Disney, when they were planning on buying Pixar, when they were in charge of Pixar, they were planning on doing sequels to all the movies, like Bugs and, of course, Incredibles, and any movie that had any kind of success. They were going to. And then when Pixar got back in control, they immediately nixed them all. And they said, no, fuck you. What are you doing? They looked at some of the storylines were just awful. Yep. And they were just doing – and they wanted to do them straight to video. Like, Toy Story 2 was supposed to go straight to video.
Yep.
Disney, come on. Have some
– Do you think they would have learned?
Yeah, you'd think. I don't care.
Number one for me.
Money doll.
I'm thrilled. I'm giddy about the idea of this. I hope it comes to fruition.
You're not allowed to get married at Disneyland. Isn't that weird?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Makes me kind of
Where would you?
In line.
Like in the park?
Yeah.
They let you take wedding photos in Disneyland, though. I've seen people doing that.
Really?
Yeah. Like right by right by the castle where there's like grass fields and stuff.
Can you imagine the fat hogs that want to get pictures in front of that thing?
You would think that they'd allow gay marriages. It's a small world.
Why are so many women that are still obsessed with Disney by the time they're adults, they're fat hogs? Why is that?
It's their
and
last
they like
hope.
Horses.
It's their last hope.
They like
the
horses
princess.
And Tinkerbell.
Well, it's the only thing they can physically ride that'll carry them.
I apologize to any listener who has any of those attributes. It's because I'm a terrible stereotyper.
Gigantic people who love horses? Who have an equine fan?
It's absolutely true. Okay. Equine. Yeah, like Disney needs to make a movie about a horse. By the way.
No more horse films.
Fucking
Number
war
one
horse.
For me.
I'm banning War Horse. I say it right now. Banned it.
I'm going old school.
Go.
1968. Also written and directed by the same person.
Oh, my God. Are you doing this?
What?
Go ahead.
What do you think I'm going to say?
Go ahead.
No, say it.
Manchurian?
No. Oh, Anderson.
Oh, that was like 50s, right?
Yeah, it was like 1959. No,
that's like your favorite movie
like
of all time, right?
1962, actually.
That's what you say your favorite movie of all time is, right?
No, but it's a fine film.
What's your favorite movie of all time?
Really?
You only have 15 to choose from?
Transformers 1 or
2. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Bars are closing soon. Let's go.
I want to see a sequel. And all the actors are still alive. The principals. Rosemary's Baby. How much do you want to see a sequel to that?
Huh.
Roman Polanski's still around.
Yeah.
Mia Farrow's still around.
He makes shitty movies.
Charles Grodin's still around. So, it's like,
Charles Grodin.
And here's
was he in that?
Yeah, he was the doctor.
Oh, that's right. He was the doctor. Know who's not? John Cassavetes, kind of dead.
He's dead.
Yeah, he's sort of dead.
It's okay. See, he could be dead. It's 43 years later. Mm-hmm. Rosemary's Baby's grown up with a family, kids of his own, comes to realize he's actually the son.
Are you
of
sure
there's
not a sequel? I feel like I've heard of Whatever Happened to Rosemary's Baby.
Yes, there's a TV movie from 1976
whatever
called
happened.
Look What's Happened to Rosemary's Baby.
Uh-huh.
And there was a whatever book sequel to- in 1997 called Son of Rosemary. Mm-hmm. Both of which were sort of dismissed very quickly. There was a remake proposed by Michael Bay in 2008, but that also went away. But I think with all the principals involved, Mia Farrow and Roman Polanski, you could absolutely shoot this in Europe. Roman Polanski doesn't have to come back to the States.
You know what? Not bad. That's kind of interesting.
I would love to see it.
I did not like that movie do.
This is a film that time has not been kind to. This is not nearly as scary. Oh, it's one of the scariest films of all time. Not nearly as scary. Not scary at all, actually. It's kind of weird and hokey. But I think they could do a very scary version of it, of a remake. Excuse me, a sequel today. I would love to see it.
Yeah, because that's the one thing that really lacked was the original. If you haven't seen it, I can't even really say go out and see it. It's a great movie by any.
It's not.
They capitalized so much on like a theater of the mind and what happens off screen. You don't even see actually the beast and like you see these eyes.
It's more about paranoia.
Ruth Gordon's actually the best part of the movie, and you never even you don't.
She won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, did she really?
Yes, she did.
But you forget that she's even in the movie.
Yeah.
God, she's great, though.
Yes.
Love that Ruth Gordon.
The movie's more about paranoia than scaring you. You know what I mean? Like, she feels trapped and all that stuff, by the people surrounding her
Harold
and the places surrounding her.
Harold and Maude.
Harold and Maude, Ruth Gordon.
Yeah, you gotta go watch that. God, I love that movie.
I know you love that film. All right, I would love ready? To see. Number one, Rosemary's Baby for me.
Very good. I like that.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
My number one. And this is the one that I thought we were going to have maybe a little crossover, and I probably saw this more often than any other movie. And what's happened to me in this new incarnation of the film vault? I don't know if I would have allowed myself to put a Steven Spielberg movie at my number one unless we were talking something negative. But E.T. needs to have a goddamn sequel.
I can see that.
It is unacceptable that I don't know what Gertie and Elliot are up to. I don't know what they're up to.
I can see that.
I know they're still making movies as actors.
This is the one you're saying there was a lot of buzz on the
internet. Lot of people, yeah, because there was the original. There's a book out there. It's already a sequel. It's called The Green Planet, the book of The Green Planet, and it's all about Elliot and Gertie go to his planet, and they see it. Mm. At one point, Spielberg and Matheson, who wrote the original screenplay, they wrote a treatment called E.T. 2, Nocturnal Fears, and it was it would see Elliot and his friends kidnapped by evil aliens and follow their attempts to contact E.T. for help, which sounds horribly corny.
Yeah, it sounds bad.
I would like to see maybe
the first one was such a perfectly told story, though.
He goes home and there's so much. I mean, they're little kids. I would like to see contact.
Yeah, on Earth. You're not talking about another planet.
Maybe another planet, but maybe that's part of it. Mm. But like I said, I'm not going to sit here and try and say, this is what should happen, which would be compelling. That would be a good podcast. Yeah. A lot of people would attempt to do that. I don't want to embarrass myself.
Sure.
And come up with bad storylines.
Efforts.
Unless we're making jokes. And I do like these movies, so I don't want to make jokes here.
Okay.
Go ahead, make your joke. But I think that I don't think it's out of – because especially with Spielberg and how he likes to rehash things and fix things.
I just saw The Lost World today. It was on TV again. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was on the background. But
these actors are still out there, obviously. They're still working.
Yep.
Last time I saw Elliot –
not so much with Elliot.
Well, he's still in a ton of things. You just
Henry Thomas?
Yeah. Last time I saw him on the big screen in the theater, he was killed and tortured to death in Gangs of New York.
Oh, that's right.
He's his buddy.
Oh, that's right.
So, Elliot.
That was coming on 10 years ago, by the way.
There's been tons of rumors that have been debunked, and you know, there's a lot of clamor out there. It was my childhood. It was the movie that made me cry the most probably when I was a little kid. I think this did come up on another list. E.T. was probably the movie that
made me cry.
One of the saddest movies I ever saw in top five movies that make you cry. We did with Doug Benson, which is no longer available anywhere.
Oh, we got to redo all these lists.
We should. We definitely should. But E.T., that's where.
That's good, man.
I'm curious to hear what some of the repeats are for the. I gotta imagine E.T.'s on there.
Listener top five,
yeah.
E.T. is not on there. I think it maybe got one or two mentions.
Fuck all of you!
Because you don't agree with Andrew.
Where's Gertie?
But you know what did get a mention?
What's that?
Is number five, Serenity.
You know what? A lot of people love the Serenity. I've never been. Because you got to watch all the Fireflies first.
Wait, refresh my memory. What is Serenity?
It's a sci-fi movie.
It's a Western set in space. Yeah.
It's a genre bender, Brian. Genre bender.
Is it an old film?
It's a TV show, Firefly. They got prematurely canceled. It had a huge core following. Oh. So they had speaking of which, in case you haven't heard, I'm sure most of you have, but Arrested Development, not only making a movie, they're coming back for 10 episodes.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're going to be on FX or Showtime, and they're in negotiations, but they're greenlit to make 10 episodes. If you like Arrested Development like I do, they're going to do 10 episodes, and then they're going to make a movie, and we all get to see the Bluth family.
If they're going to put it on FX, why not just do Fox?
Because Fox are cunts.
Yeah. They're putting on New Girl instead. All right.
Dr. Drew
four.
Loves New Girl. Bad sign! Well, I'm just kidding, Drew. Just kidding, buddy.
Number four, District 9.
All right.
District 10.
They wanted District 10.
I saw that a few times. Yeah.
What do you think? It's so recent, though. It feels like there might be a sequel somewhere.
I didn't love that movie.
They alluded to it coming out 4 years after District 9 came out because he's supposed to come back and rescue the guy in 4 years. So it's going to happen. I have a feeling.
I didn't like the tone of that movie. I didn't know if I was supposed to. I don't know if it was because I'm not Australian or New Zealand. I'm not a Kiwi. But it seemed like I didn't like him.
South African.
He was supposed to be funny.
I agree. I actually didn't like the movie as much as everyone else did.
We saw it together, right?
We held hands. Logan, you loved it. The film, right?
District 9?
Yeah.
It was pretty good. I liked it. I give it 4 stars.
Remember, you got sick of me talking about it. I was so excited about District
9.
I would give it, it's like, for me, it's like a 3.5 just because the CGI and the storyline behind it was so fantastic and so random and so awesome that they just happened to, we all know the storyline, but I did not like him.
I did not care for him at all. I did like it. It's good, but didn't love it. Okay. Good choice, though. I mean, it's so recent, though. I try to eliminate movies.
We have a lot of young listeners. It's cool. Okay. It's cool. District 10.
Yep.
All right.
Number three. It's one that already came up, but I'll give you an alternative after. It's The Incredibles.
Yeah.
Wow.
The alternative to The Incredibles is, let's see, Zombieland.
No.
Hmm.
Not too much of Zombieland. It's the same thing over and over. Just kill zombies. We're going to kill these zombies, and we're going to kill those zombies. We're going to run into Emma Stone, and we're going to kill some more zombies.
But that's always a good time.
I don't get the zombie thing. I really don't. I know that I'm not making
I'm a huge
I don't get it.
You know what I think it is? I think it's a video game obsession thing because it's a lot of running around, whacking things on the head.
Hipsters love their zombies.
They do.
They're fun movies. They're fun movies.
I don't know.
I'm excited for The Walking Dead to come back.
I used to play that House of Dead video game all the time. That's a good one, yeah. It's the actual
arcade. I play it when I go to Dave & Buster's every now and then.
Yeah, it's a good one. I get really good. I memorized the first three levels. Killing zombies.
Number two, South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
I almost said that, but it kind of—it's like we already got mini sequels. Right. Speaking of which, I think the first one, the new one's coming out tonight. Time stamping, but you're not a South Park fan.
I appreciate it, but don't watch it.
It's been fun doing the show with you.
Do you think they should do it as a musical again, or just give
it
straight up?
Everything they do should be musical.
They have to do the musical, yeah.
Yeah. All right, and the number one, as submitted by the listeners,
dying to find out,
Kick-Ass.
Oh, that was on my list.
Good for them because they have. I think it's done.
Yeah, it's wrapping.
It's so recent.
It's canned.
It's so recent.
So I'm glad for you guys because your wish is coming true.
Some interesting ones though. Amelie.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
Spaceballs.
No.
Yeah, the search for more money.
I was actually just talking about Schwartz this one with some friends a couple days ago. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, I agree.
Where's Ferris?
He calls
Ferris
in sick or something.
You know what? I might have gone with that instead of Fast Times.
Old Ferris.
No, I thought of it and I said,
yeah.
And Cameron and Sloan.
Cameron's Sloan dad. Peterson? His dad gets home and kills him.
Sloan Peterson.
His dad kills him. Sloan is probably no longer hot.
She's probably pregnant in the sequel.
Yeah.
All right. And last one.
With Rooney's baby. The twist.
Ooh. All right.
Last one would be The Professional. You follow Natalie Portman, what she's doing now.
Very interesting.
All right.
Yes. I wonder if Jean Reno's character would still be alive.
How about these, Anderson?
The zombie one.
Yes.
She has to kill a zombie.
No. Will you just stop talking?
I mentioned Diner earlier. How about this one, which was just on TV, which I just saw? Out of Sight has the ending that sets up perfectly for a sequel. Remember, you see a cameo by Samuel L. Jackson in the back of the paddy wagon? Mm. He's an expert at getting out of prisons.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movie ends.
I was so elated when the movie ended. I don't remember.
No. Yeah. Out of Sight?
Mm-hmm. I was out of sight immediately when the credits started to roll. Not a fan.
Really?
Not a fan.
Oh, man. White Man Can't Jump.
Ooh.
I would like to see more White Man Can't Jump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still hustling after all these years.
Takes place in a barbershop. They're old now.
That'd be amazing.
They just sit there and talk shit about LeBron.
Yep.
Yep.
Good Will Hunting?
No.
Just from a funny, I'd like to see a screenplay that
that'd
was
be a
written
tough
by
one,
Ben Affleck.
Because whoever wrote the original is probably dead and buried somewhere.
Yep, exactly.
And how would they,
And what happened to Goodwill? What happened to him?
Where
did he go west?
He got out of town.
Did he go west? Did he find...
He comes back a millionaire and he just makes fun of all his poor. Makes fun of Ben Affleck.
Just
still doing that shit.
Shine my shoes, boy.
Wears a monocle.
That's right.
Top hat.
And
money goes to his head.
Four films. I came up with a lot of films that came across a lot of films that are based on true stories that are basically true stories. Mm-hmm. I want to see more of the true story. I want to see more of Pride of the Yankees, which was my number one on my needs to be remade list. The Lou Gehrig thing after he got ALS, what his life was like.
44.
Yeah, it was written 39 maybe. Mm-hmm. The Blind Side. I want to see Michael Oren in college. I want to see him in the pros. The Aviator. We missed out on the most interesting part of Howard Hughes' life when he was a weird recluse. I want to see more of The Aviator.
Great point. I would love to see a different part of Howard Hughes' life.
Yeah, that's the most interesting part. Mm-hmm. And Catch Me If You Can. I want to see more. I want to see more of.
We got to see
Walter
enough of him
Abagnale
collecting his blood, and his pee and stuff. We got to see enough of that, but yeah, we didn't get to see the long fingernails and
exactly.
all that stuff. We saw it. It was in that movie. It was covered
in
the movie. It's not like it ended with him, a young man, still moving upward.
It ended with him pulling himself together and going and testifying in front of Congress or something.
And I'm sorry, what was the last one?
Last one was Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can. That was a good one.
I want to see because the ending crawl was Abagnale became a force in the FBI, cracking codes and checks and all
that.
That
might be
my
favorite Spielberg movie ever.
Really?
The last 10, 15 years for sure.
More than Minority Report.
Yeah. Yes. Minority Report. Remember Almost Awesome, or movies with terrible endings? It was my number one. It was just a fucking horrible ending. Fuck you. Yes. Let a couple people die for a better society. What the fuck? What kind of a message is that?
Well, this has been a top five list. Thank you for sending in the suggestions. Send us more suggestions at AndersonandBrian.com. Check us out on Twitter.
And Michael Biehn. Go ahead.
What?
I say Michael Biehn. Remember those old, only the old people in our audience are going to get this one, but remember E.F. Hutton?
No, Timothy Hutton.
E.F. Hutton. It was like a law firm or it was a banking investments. And they had all these ads. This is so stupid because you don't even know what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton, people say E.F. Hutton and then everyone gets quiet and they start listening. Like, no matter when Eve Hedden talks, people listen. That was funny. Like the whole tagline.
All right.
That's what you are with Michael Biehn.
Biehn.
You're right in the middle of a plug, and I just yelled out Tourette style, Biehn, and you just stopped and looked at me like, what? What
about? Check out grindhousethevictim.com for more information on Biehn's movie, The Victim.
Michael Biehn, thank you very much for, not that you're listening, but thank you. I hope not.
He said he was going to come on the show again soon.
Yeah. Okay.
Depending on your review of his movie.
I'm saying, if you like Michael Biehn, you're going to like this one.
Yep.
He said he wants to bring some of the cast members by.
Ooh, bring the brunette.
Yeah, Danielle
What
Harris.
Am I, some kind of ogling old man? Well, I don't care. They're all
bring
great.
Her by.
Bring her. Bring them all with the dark hair. there's some real fun to be had. You can tell that they're having a good time.
Yep.
Yeah, he said go into the movie having fun. If you don't like fucking or fighting, then you're not going to like this movie.
There's so much wrong with you.
You know what, though? I can say this, and it's a compliment, and maybe the other way as well, but if it was anyone other than Michael Biehn in that role, I would have liked it a lot less.
Sure. HitOrMissMovies.com. Check out Miss Movies Podcast. It's up there at HitOrMissMovies.com. Logan has himself a little podcast. Save It For Air. How's that going, buddy?
Good. Miss Movies was just on this past Monday's episode.
This is some synergy. Check it out. Save It For Air. Is it SaveItForAir.com?
Yes, it is.
SaveItForAir.com.
I would also like to see Titanic.
Why?
That's not true at all, but Street
why
Fight.
Why would you like to see that?
What is true is Street Fight, the documentary about Booker, who is now the mayor of Newark, New Jersey.
Really
good documentary back in the day.
Oh,
when
yeah,
he was
I saw
running.
That documentary. I've
really
seen,
good. Street
yeah,
Fight.
Yeah. Street Fight is about, yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice to
update
that?
Girl Fight.
Now that he's won,
yeah,
he's cleaning up Newark.
The comptroller or whatever.
I love that Booker. Yeah. Oh, he's the mayor.
NeoCarAudio.com. Check him out for all your car audio needs. Thank you to NeoCarAudio.
That's the way to go. Don't go into like one of those places that charge. Once somebody tried to charge me $400 to iPod my car.
And no, you're like, I got a tape with a wire, buddy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, but Neo is the place to go.
Yeah. 15% discount, TFB. And Anderson, are we do cool with all of our business? Is that everything we need to say?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine how great a Blue Velvet sequel would be?
Wow. Well, who
would
we
got to do without the hop? Fucking CGI would have to get so much better.
Yeah.
But you know what we get to hear some more of?
What?